Okay, let's open up to the Book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 9. We're going to consider a record that I think many of you are pretty familiar with a view to getting to somewhere else. I think if I were to entitle this teaching, I would title it, Be Thankful. Which sort of goes against the grain of the world, doesn't it? Okay. Well, I want to start in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus. Let me back up just a bit. Stephen, who was a man who was strong in grace, was quite a man, walked with God, was stoned. He was killed. And Saul was there. He consented unto his death. As a matter of fact, it comes up in a... Well, I don't want to go there. But anyway, Saul was consenting unto his death. So what happened was, is because the persecution was so great in Jerusalem, they scattered. Okay, the saints just, they booked it. And they went everywhere talking about the persecution. No, they went everywhere preaching Jesus Christ. So here's Saul. Okay, the believers left Jerusalem. So now he's going to get letters from the high priest to go to Damascus to get him. Isn't that something? He's really committed here. So he desired letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Can you imagine this kind of thing? It's just, but they just come in and take you. Anyway, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now the journey from Jerusalem to Damascus is roughly 130 miles. So he's apparently closer to Damascus. How far he is, I don't know. But he's fairly close to Damascus. This happens. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's interesting. Now that's an enlightening verse, because who was Paul after? Who was Paul imprisoning? Who was Paul, you know, doing all these things to the saints? And Jesus Christ said, why are you persecuting me? Because that was his body. Why do you persecute me? Verse 5, we'll just read it. I won't get into that. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Okay? Then in this record it has, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks of the goads, which is mentioned in Acts 26, which is where we're going to go, but it's actually not in the text when he reiterates what happened, or when this is reiterating what happened here. Anyway, verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Okay? So he was told to go into the city, into Damascus. Now, we're going to turn to Acts chapter 22, where this is relayed again. And this is after Paul went to Jerusalem, and God had told him, don't go to Jerusalem. Paul went to Jerusalem. And he was taken prisoner. And it was very violent. They wanted to kill him. And the Romans came in and got him. And they take him into their fortress. They take Paul into his fortress. And Paul says, look, let me defend myself. And the Roman guy looks at him and said, "Ooh, you can speak Greek?" "Yes, I can." And then the Roman captain said, "Okay." So he begins to defend himself in front of those of Jerusalem in the Hebrew tongue. Okay? And this is in Acts chapter 22. And this is what we're going to read here. "My brethren, men, brethren and fathers, hear you my defense, which I make now unto you. And they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, Tarsus, Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye are all this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest does bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh or near to Damascus, about noon," so we're getting some gaps filled in here, "it's about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground, under the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered and said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." I am that Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't that something? "And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me." They didn't understand, is what this means when you look at the words. They may have heard something, but they didn't understand what was being said. "And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." It would be told him in Damascus. Similar to what we read in 9, isn't it? Okay, now I want you to turn to Acts 28. I'm sorry, Acts 26. Acts 26. Now, this is a little time later, when the record that we just read, he defended himself against those of Jerusalem. They went crazy. They wanted to kill him. So the Roman captain, realizing that Paul was a Roman citizen, sends him to Festus. Old Festus. That's right. His great, 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 great grandson starting Gunsmoke. Anyway, send him to Festus, and he speaks to Festus, and then Agrippa comes in. Okay? And what we're reading is, Agrippa wanted to hear what Paul had to say. All right? So, we're going to pick it up in verse 9 of Acts 26. "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." They were put to death. Isn't that something? He was the witness against them. I don't know how many saints were put to death, but it was more than Stephen. Isn't that something? "And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme." I made them blaspheme. "You say, screw this Jesus. Say it. Say it. Say it." That's what he did. That's something. Say it. Quite a man. I guess this is part of the reason why later on in Timothy he's referred to as the model of mercy and of grace. That's something. He's the advertisement. for what Jesus Christ is all about. See? I punished them oft in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, wow, he persecuted them more than just Jerusalem and Damascus. He went into strange cities too. So he gets to Damascus, whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. And at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. Now we know from 22, it was at what time of day? Noon. Sun's pretty bright at noon. Shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads. That's an Orientalism. I think most of you are familiar with it. They would, when oxen would plow, they would have a long stick with a nail or something to poke with. And they would keep it down, and it would keep the oxen plowing straight. If the oxen turned or if they tried to kick, they would hit the sharp thing. And eventually, even a dumb ox figures it out. You know what? I think I'm just going to go straight. Okay? So that's what he's talking about. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks or the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make or to hand pick you as a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Where would this likely have been told him? From the other records we read.
Damascus.
That's right. Because what Jesus Christ had said to him was, you go to Damascus and it will be told thee what's been appointed unto you. Mm-hmm. See? And then Ananias, when he got to Damascus, Jesus Christ had shown Paul that a man would come in, and it was Ananias. And Ananias went in, ministered to him, opened his eyes, baptized him in Holy Spirit. See? So, it's in that time period where this was likely revealed to Paul. This is what you're appointed to. And this is what I wanted to get to. So rise, stand upon thy feet. That meant Saul was what? What was he doing? He was sitting. Stand up. Isn't that something? For this purpose, to handpick thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which you've seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. And there are records in God's word where he appeared unto him. And you know, it's really remarkable that relationship that Paul had with Jesus Christ. Very unique. It's very unique. Delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom I now send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. This is what Paul was to do. This is what he was appointed to. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto who?
God.
Unto God. Or the power of Satan, this could be an ellipsis, the power of Satan unto what?
The power of God.
See? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart by believing that is in me. It would all hinge on believing in me. Me who?
God.
Jesus Christ. See? Calling upon the name of the Lord, confessing Jesus as Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead. That's what Paul was called to. Among the Gentiles to make known Jesus Christ. That was his ministry. See? And the result of him making known Jesus Christ was that, and would be, that their eyes would be opened. If your eyes are opened, it's opposed to what? closed. That's something. Turned from darkness to what?
Light.
That's something. From the power of God, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And set apart by God. That would be the result of his making known Jesus Christ. See? That's something.
Yeah.
With this in mind, let's look at some of these, okay? And I want you to go back to the Gospel of Matthew. There's so many places we could go just to have fun with this. But it's kind of neat to look at the Word at some of these things. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 15. Oh, did I write down the wrong scripture? God bless me. Okay. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, I apologize for this.
14
years? No, it's not. It's not. It's a parable. Go to Luke chapter 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke. It is the scripture where Jesus Christ he had spoken a parable. And the disciples wanted to hear it, wanted to understand, and asked him why he spoke in parables. And what he said was that seeing they might not see, hearing they might not hear. But unto you it is given to understand. See. Then he says, kings have desired to look into the things which you now see and hear. Isn't that something? They desire to hear the things that you now see and hear. It's really something. And there's another wonderful record where I can't remember his name now, but was it Simon? When Jesus Christ was born, or he brought him to the temple, now I have seen, you know, thy salvation. Isn't that something? He saw it. See? Eyes open. Things that kings desire to look into. But I just want to show you how it's used. It's kind of neat because eyes open does mean physically too. There are records where Jesus Christ healed the blind, and it says their eyes were open.
Wow.
See, but that's not what we're talking about here. Luke chapter 24, it's used. I love this record. Luke 24, and we're going to look at verse, well, let's go to verse 27. This is the road to Emmaus. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus Christ, expounded unto them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread, blessed it, brake, gave to them, and their eyes were what? Opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. That's something. Their eyes were what? Boom. Oh, it was like, oh, ah. That's what it means. It's like, whoa, that was him. They got it. And they'd been with him. That's something. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is part of a prayer. We're going to start in verse 16 of Ephesians 1. He ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. the eyes of your understanding. Now, understanding is put here for heart. Okay? The eyes of your heart. Does your heart have eyes?
Yes.
Well, not literally. Your heart doesn't have eyes. But eyes are put here to see. But to see where? In your heart. Isn't that beautiful? The eyes of your heart, that you might see in your heart, understand it in your heart. Isn't that awesome? Understand in your heart. And know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches, or what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Of his inheritance in the saints. See? We're going to look in a couple of minutes at our inheritance. But we are God's inheritance. That's something. It talks about that in 2 Peter too. And when it talks to leadership. And it tells those, don't be lords over gods. And it's translated heritage in King James. It's the word inheritance. Don't be lords over God's inheritance. That's God's inheritance. That's what God wanted. One of the family. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
See? Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. You know, I'm thinking of, there's a verse in John 16. Thinking of opening their eyes. Jesus Christ is teaching his men about the Comforter. And in John 16, it's verse 30-ish, 30-something. He says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You can't deal with it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, when that Spirit comes, then you'll know. For it will teach you all things. It'll show you. See? And it'll only speak that which it hears of God. Isn't that something? Speaking of spirit. See? In Matthew chapter 4, did I say what verse? 16. And then that verse in Acts that we read says to turn from darkness to light. The word turn, it means to turn. Basically what it means. Turn around. It's translated convert in a number of places. To convert, to turn around. See? To turn around from darkness to what?
To light.
To light. Darkness to light. In Matthew chapter 4, I love this verse. In verse 13, he had heard that John had been cast into prison. Verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. It's kind of noteworthy what we're going to read here. Because Zebulun and Naphtali were the first areas of Israel to be taken and led captive back in the Old Testament. And they're the first mentioned in the Gospels. Watch this. This is so cool. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw what? Great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, life is what? Sprung up. That's something. See? It's, and you know, you could translate this death's shadow. Death's shadow. That darkness. There's a great scripture in Hebrews where it talks about Jesus Christ. And it says that he died. He was delivered unto death so that he could deliver them who through all their lifetime were subject to that bondage of the fear of what?
Death.
Fear of death. See? See? Light and darkness. Light versus darkness. In light, you can see. In darkness, you can't. There's nothing there. And that's what Jesus Christ came to. And that's what these people saw. They'd been sitting in darkness. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ shows up on the scene. See? And they're hearing God's word. They're seeing deliverance. It's light. A great light has sprung up. Isn't that awesome? That's our Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Boy, those kids sound like they're having fun. Ephesians chapter 5. This is just wonderful. This is who we are. Verse 8. For you were sometimes, or at one time, darkness. You were at one time darkness. All of us. All of us were at one time darkness. Because we didn't have spirit. We hadn't called on the name of Jesus Christ at some point, right?
Right.
So at one time we were darkness, but now are you what?
Light.
In the Lord. Walk as what?
Children of light.
Isn't that beautiful? We're children of light. That's what we're called to. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's what we've been made in Christ. See? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, chapter 4 just taught us some truths regarding our gathering together. Chapter 5 addresses some concerns regarding the day of the Lord. Verse 2 of chapter 5 says, "For yourselves know perfectly, or accurately, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say," and it's in this sense that it comes as a thief, "and when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travails upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." See? In that sense, it's like a thief in the night. Everything's fine. Everything's good. Everything's honky-dory. All of a sudden, there's somebody in your house. Unannounced. You understand? In that sense. Everything's honky-dory. Or a woman going into labor. You know, she's fine. Sitting there. Everything's good. We're good. Oh, whoa! What was that? It's happening. You just don't know the moment. That's what it's saying. That is very different from our gathering together. Our gathering together is going to be announced. Yeah. Shout. Trump. It's going to be done in the open. Anyway, verse 4. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness." You're not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of what?
God.
Of light and of God. That's right. And God is light. Children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of what?
Darkness.
Isn't that beautiful? We are children of light. And that was done. That's done. That's done. That's what we are. Now, we can walk that way also, but that's what we are. Children of light. Isn't that something? Sons of the Most High God, who is the God of light. He's our Father. We're His children. See? And when we hold on to the Word, we shine as what?
Children of light.
Right. We shine as lights in this world. See? Really something. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. From darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to the power of God. You know, prior to the new birth, prior to belonging to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were the property of the adversary, the property of Satan. It is a popular phrase or a popular thinking that all are the children of God, that all men are the children of God. That's not true. It's just not true. All children are the descendants of Adam, or all men are the descendants of Adam. We become brothers of and in Christ when we make the decision to believe on Him and confess Him as Lord. Understood?
Yeah.
All are descendants of Adam. Not all are children of God. The ones that have called on the name of the Lord, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the children of God. By what Jesus Christ did. Not by virtue of just simply existing. And we read that in Acts 26, and we're going to read it here in Colossians chapter 1. It's far more succinctly than what I just stated. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, that means adequate or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Isn't that beautiful? See, we all have a share in that. We all have a share in that inheritance. You know, and part of that inheritance, new bodies, eternal life, with Jesus Christ, always, forevermore, we're going to be with Jesus Christ. And in all the events that we read, that are yet to come in the future, we're going to be with who? Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? With Jesus Christ. That's right. Who hath delivered us, He hath delivered us from the power, or the exercised power of what? Darkness.
Yes.
And hath translated, or He has, you know, removed us, given us citizenship in the kingdom of His dear Son. We've been removed. Literally, it means we're removed from one place to another. We were removed from the exercise power of darkness. That's Satan's realm. He's the god of this world. He's the one that blinds the minds of them that believe not. He's the one that works ceaselessly to make the things of God look foolish or weak. Okay. We've been removed from that and put into the kingdom of His dear sons, citizens of heaven. Access to the throne of grace. Isn't that something? See, all that's wrapped up in this. That's what we have. That's what we have. We are not subjects of darkness. We are subjects of the kingdom to which we belong, which is Jesus Christ. Do you understand?
Yeah.
See? Let's go to Ephesians. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Ephesians. Ephesians. You know, let's go. I wasn't going to do this, but I am going to do this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and then we'll... Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read this. Beginning in verse 10, it says, finally, and it should read, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His. And that word might is strength or ability. We're to be strong in His ability. We just read in Colossians that we've been transferred from the exercised power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Here, it talks about being strong in His power or His ability. Okay? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For, here's why. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. See? In Colossians, we read about the power of darkness. In Acts, we read about, in Acts 26, the power of what? Darkness. See? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. The word world is the word age. See? Against spiritual wickedness from on high. It looks like flesh and blood, but it's spiritual wickedness from on high. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand or stand in the evil day, having done all to what? Stand. See? Stand. You know, the world gets crazy sometimes, but we belong to who?
God.
God, that's right. The world is real dark sometimes. See? But we're children of what?
God.
Children of light. Isn't that something? See? We're in the world, but we're not of it. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's something, the breastplate of righteousness. What a, you know, breastplate is a vital thing. You know, today we'd like it, I guess, under a, like a bulletproof vest. It covers all the vital organs. It's just an analogy. But righteousness. See, righteousness. We're righteous because we believed on Jesus Christ. That's what we have, that's who we are. We're never not righteous. We may act like it sometimes, but we're never not righteous. Isn't that something? That's how God sees us. He sees us in Christ. See? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The good news of peace. Above all, taking the shield of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Really, you know, that shield of believing is taking God at His word. Taking God at His word. See, who supplies?
God does.
God does. How do we know that? That's what His word says. God will never leave us nor forsake us. How do we know that?
Tells us
in His word. God says, I'll work in you to willing to do of my good pleasure. How do we know that? Tells us in His word. Right? We're sons of God. We're beloved. How do we know that? He tells us in His word. See? These are the things that the world and the power of darkness constantly chip away at and try and talk us out of. See? Isn't that something?
Yeah.
See, in that shield of believing. See? The word is what's true. It is true. And take the helmet of deliverance and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I love that. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, I think back to that verse in John where he talks about that Spirit of truth and will only speak those things which it hears. That's a big one. Praying always with all prayer or in every prayer. And supplication in the Spirit. What kind of prayer is that?
Speaking
to, that's right. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See? This is who we are. This is what God's made us when we believed on Jesus Christ. This is what Paul was appointed to do. And Paul, from that point forward, wasn't perfect, but he made known Jesus Christ. Why? We're reading the epistles that he was given revelation to write so that we could know. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Boy, that's our Lord. Pretty awesome. Then it says sanctified. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 15. Then we're going to look at one more verse. Romans chapter 15. Sanctified by the believing that is in me, it said in Acts 26. That sanctified is a word that means to be set apart. You're set apart unto God because you believed in Jesus Christ. You belong to Him. because you believed in Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? You're set apart. You belong to Him. You're separated out from the common lot, which is all men who are descended from Adam, and you are separated unto God because you are now part of the body of Jesus Christ. Simple, isn't it? Separated. Separated out. And it talks about that here in Romans chapter 15. Verse 16 says, that I should be, and this is Paul, this is where we started, this is so cool, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, the good news of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the what?
Holy Spirit.
That's something. See, in 1 Corinthians, it says that we are sanctified by Spirit. That's what sanctifies us. That's what sets us apart. That Spirit is a token. It's a deposit on what we will ultimately have when we realize our inheritance. See? Isn't that wonderful? All in Christ. Now, let's close in Colossians chapter 3 with one verse. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, no matter the situation you're in, as dim as it might seem, as dark as it might seem, as difficult as it might seem, as impossible as it might seem, all these things that we've just read are true. It is what's true. And so from God's perspective, by the senses, what we're going to read here seemingly might seem as though God just doesn't understand. Isn't that funny? To say it sounds funny. But the truth is that He does understand. That's why He says what He says. It talks about forbearing one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, forgive. Forgive it. How big is whatever going on, how does it compare with who you are and what you have in Christ? How does it compare? How does it compare with the hope? How does it compare with our gathering together? How does it compare with what God's made you? How does it compare with the access that you have to God? See? Or walking by the Spirit? How does it even compare? And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of maturity. And let the peace, and it should read of Christ, let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your hearts. It's the judge. Yes. It's the umpire. The peace of Christ, to the which also you are called in one body. And then it says what? Be ye thankful.
Be ye thankful.
No matter what, be ye thankful. Do we have anything to be thankful for? Oh, man.
We have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes, we do. See?
Part of it is
our brothers, that's right. That's right,
and our
Ronnie.
Family, too.
Amen. That's right. So it says to be ye thankful. No matter the situation, you belong to God. No matter the situation, your future, our future, is absolutely secure. That, what an incredible, incredible... No matter if I don't know what the outcome of this thing that I'm involved in right now, I do know that I have a faithful God that I belong to. And that I've been delivered from the power of darkness. Right? I know that. And I know there's a day coming when I'm going to get gathered together with my Lord Jesus Christ. See? So I might as well look to Him. Because that's where I'm going to land anyway. See? Because I believed on Jesus Christ. So, that being said, be ye what?
Thankful.
Okay? All right.